Betcha gone fishing all the time. Me be gone fishing too.
Oh, you know what that means, right? Leaf is here. We're going to do a little fishing report. How you doing, Leaf?
I'm doing fantabulous. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. You're able to live off of non-moving water?
Well, I did, you know, send you a few pictures there of that tiny trickle of moving water the other day.
That's right. You were up there. That was pretty up there. Oh, gosh. Well, first off, it looked like exactly kind of my size of stream. I really like that size. And beautiful little fish.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, so we're talking about Boulder Creek in this case, folks. We talked last week about trying to get up there. At this point, if you're listening to this report today, you got just a few days left because it closes on the 31st. It was so much fun. I hit this spot that I will give this little secret away because I know not everybody likes to do this, but there's a lot of miles to that creek that you could fish. I have kind of done a lot of looking around there. You know, it's kind of nice when you're with a buddy and you can be in that passenger seat and really just staring over and not like drive your truck over the cliff trying to look at the creek while you're trying to drive.
Yeah.
I was still trying not to drive into the creek looking by myself, but kind of knowing where these better spots are. And the one I really, really like is exactly 8.9 miles up from the beginning of that 34 road, the Boulder Creek road itself. You know, it's just this cool little hanging gorge. I sent you pictures of that. You can only get in or out in the two ends, like a true little gorge. It's only about 1/8 of a mile long, but just probably a chain of 5 or 6 cool little waterfalls, either made by bigger boulders or just bedrock too. Mm-hmm. Some very nice big bedrock slide areas where you could kind of, I was blending in with my gray raincoat and my gray waders and kind of sliding along like a gecko. And it took some stealth because
yes, that's part of the deal. You do got to sneak up on these holes. Yeah.
Yeah. So I remember the last one there, I kind of had known about the whole rest of it. And I just don't think I dropped over the last, in this case, big bedrock, about 15, 20 foot drop. And I think in the past, the pile of logs that kind of chokes into the lower end of the gorge had blocked it from my view. And I just didn't continue on from that point. I'd just gone up and not ever done this very last piece. And it was kind of funny because I could see the fish really well. I crept over the top and looked over the edge and Blue came over like, hey, what's going on? And all the fish go, shoop. They were just sitting there in like 6 inches of water. And I could see like 30 of them just, chilling out, trying not to move. Just everybody had their pecking order all ready for anything that would come around. And I had kind of, before the gorge there, had nothing in the lower sections of Boulder Creek. I wouldn't doubt it if the fish are kind of moving around when they feel the cold water and getting to more stable spots. In this case, in this gorge, they can go one way, and that's down. They could never get back up into this thing. And I think fish maybe get pushed out in the spring, but other than that, these fish are stuck there. Mm-hmm. So they're always there. And they'd been in there every time I'd ever gone by this place, and it's about 50-50 brook trout and cutthroat. And so once they chilled back out, I kind of had to help Blue down this boulder pile, and we snuck in there and let it chill out a little bit. And and like the other portions of the gorge, I probably caught another, well, pretty much every fish in the run in the pool. And that would be about 20 fish, 30 fish per pool. At one point, I was just sitting on a rock with my feet kind of in the water, catching fish after fish after fish. And it was
we need to remind folks, it's all catch and release now.
Well, actually not.
Really?
In Boulder Creek, although I was too lazy to take, they kind of encourage you really to take some brook trout. I just, in this case, really didn't have any way of taking them. Mm-hmm. The brook trout in that creek can trickle down, could potentially spawn with our bull trout. So yes, you're right. Absolutely. In most cases, anything.
Just when it's, you said you took 20 of them. I thought some people are listening
to this.
Yeah,
he's taking all the fish.
Well, maybe they don't know how you fish. And so I thought.
No, had I been more prepared, and honestly, I felt like I would be, it sucks. I should have just taken them anyway, but I hate taking them if I'm not going to eat them, and they were all post-spawn fish, and they were kind of looking a little bit dark in this case. Mm-hmm. I really wouldn't have preferred to eat these fish. So there again, it was just kind of another reason not to take them that day, although I would always encourage people to take brook trout out of any of these systems where it's okay, don't get yourself in trouble. But most of these places, like Boulder Creek, Tiffany Lake, a ton of these, they're really working to try to get them out of there. So just check those regs.
I guess that needs to be said each time too, so.
As usual, you know, had a hard time keeping the discipline to stay in the creek. And you get to that point where at about 8.9 miles up there at that little gorge, it's hard not to make that run the rest of the way up to Roger, knowing there could potentially be some mm-hmm. bigger fish in that beautiful little lake. And in this case, it came of nothing of it, but...
you did go up.
Yeah, yeah, got up there, and it was beautiful. I don't regret hopping in there because... Mm-hmm. Blue and I got to run around the lake and just get some incredible views.
Yeah.
And made some casts on that.
That from the pictures, it looks like you picked one of the really nice, beautiful days. It looked like there was a lot of sunshine out that
day. Yeah, it was cool. I could see where it had snowed. There was still snow in the shade zones up there from days before. And it was kind of funny because the little fish down on the creek, I knew they might be cold, so I set up with just a hopper dropper basically a setup, a very much smaller though, probably a, what you just call it, a stimulator and a couple little nymphs that I tried.
Mm-hmm.
They showed right away though that they still wanted to eat off the top, showing me once again that there's basically nothing crawling around on the bottom that they're used to getting there. So they're just looking up all the time. And the funny part was that they would just roll in slow motion, like, I'm so cold, but I'm still going
to
eat.
I need to eat.
And so it was just, and there again, like we'd talked about in the past, using that 10-car rod, so fun.
You were using it.
Yeah, you get to where you learn how to roll it around and get those cool, tight little casts. Mm-hmm. And what I was really getting was just sort of the hook setting, and I find myself barely... holding the end of the butt end of the pole in my fingertips a lot of the time, and I'm just take a little click up in it, and it sets the hook. You have to be very much smaller and more accurate with your your movements when it comes to it, and then landing it is another cool little challenge.
Yeah, no, it is
a lot of fun.
It's a lot more gentle. Everything about it is kind of, generally speaking.
I try to make myself like a little Japanese man, very zen-like, and pretend I'm fishing cherry salmon over in where the homeland of Tenkara came from. You know, no, just really trying to make my my American giant clumsy self a little bit less spastic. You know, so yeah, but it was a lot of fun, I'm getting a lot of good reports in these other spots.
Yeah. Too. Well, it's a good time of year to work on your Japanese persona, you know, with all the fog kind of floating around. Oh, doesn't it look like Japan?
Yeah, it was cool. Beautiful. That day it went from, misty, you know, Hokkaido looking setting, those boulders, very, very kind of steep pitched gorge look there for sure. Yeah, some cool. Bonsai-esque looking trees and then all the way up into the sun after that. It was a good transition for me, freezing my butt off that morning. Blue and I both fell in a little bit that morning, and so we welcomed the sun later. Yeah, she started to fall. I went to catch her, and we were both face down in the water.
Oh, nice.
So it was pretty common.
Well, thanks for admitting that.
Yeah, it happens to the best of us.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not that I am he. No. I've been getting a lot of great reports, though, from the other lakes around. I've had a chance to get out a little bit, but you know, a buddy of mine, he gets out with one of his friends and they fly around in a pontoon plane and go fishing. So they landed up there by Chapaca the other day and did that. And sounds like Chapaca's doing great. We had talked about earlier in the spring how that road had washed out, but it sounds like you can get in there again, and there's definitely a reason to. At that one, like I've said last week or week before, it's just as great in the fall, but it's more associated with its early betas hatch in the spring.
Mm-hmm.
I really like it in the fall. And just as I thought from my experience coming back over and fishing buzzard the other day, which I don't think we talked about, I noticed a lot of these black calabatus and some what they call buzzers or adult chronomids coming back down on the surface and buzzing along.
Okay.
So I recommended they give that a shot.
Yeah.
My buddy said that that's definitely what they did best on up there. So it sounds like that cool, it's kind of like a black to, I think it maybe starts kind of Neapolitan gray-blue looking and then darkens as it hardens. And you can see them banking or dancing just above the sides of the lakes and ponds at this time of the year.
What did you cast to those? I mean, what were you trying to, what did you have in your box to emulate that?
Well, let me think here. In that case, I did have a few betas patterns, and I was using the an emerger pattern that I had tied actually a year or two ago, and not really had many chances to use, where you kind of take the CDC and loop a kind of a bubble back that'll capture a little bit of the air, and so it won't go under more than like 3 inches. Okay. And it's because, man, it was cool when I first got to buzzard the other day. not much action on the surface. You couldn't really see much going on. And I think what was happening is they started jumping after the dragonflies, because you could hear what sounded like somebody throwing like a baseball-sized rock into the water every once in a while. Kablunk. And it's because they were just jumping like 2 feet. Three feet out of the water trying to get those dragonflies. And then it started to calm down, although that was sort of a steady cadence in the background still. I could see these swirls of like 3, 4, 5, and 6 fish working Betis and I think Chronomid just under the surface. Just barely, you could see the water rolling just a little bit, just a little boil. And so you just kind of cast that there, and you could put it right at the edge of them, let it sink under just a bit, and you'd see it roll where you thought you're bug was, pick up.
God, interesting time of year to have, you know.
Surface action?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. And one of the things that kind of got me tipped off is I went in, okay, yeah, I got my balance leech on my indicator, got my balance leech on my sink line. Let's go ahead and go deep. It's cold. It's late. Let's see what's going on. I threw out, I got a couple, I think, nibbles on stripping it down underneath, but hadn't got a fish yet. And threw out the balance leech under the indicator, and wham, a fish hit the bobber. So I'm like, all right, so let's rethink this.
Yeah.
So yeah, always rethink things like that. Don't beat a dead horse.
Yeah, no, it just tried to show you something there.
Yeah, so you know, great time to take advantage of the last of those lowland lakes, and definitely last few days there on Boulder Creek, 8.9 miles up there. There's some cool little stuff there. And all throughout the rest of that system. Just explore it. Check it out. There's so many miles of cool creek there, and I bet you might find a few places you want to camp out there and spend more time by yourself, with a kid, with some friends, what have you. We'll be looking at some fly tying classes. North 40 actually is going to be coming over and doing some of those over here at the pub. They were talking about looking the guys up for like the tap room or something like that.
Cool.
And, I would definitely be taking part in that, I'm sure, if I have some time. So look to see me there as well, and I'd love to see y'all there, too.
Keep us posted.
So, you know, if you want to pick up some fly tying supplies, you want to pick up some of the fall flies, or, like I say, some better beta than I can give sometimes on that Okanagan, check those guys out over there at the OMAC Fly Shop in North 40. You can also buy your stuff online at north40flyshop.com and get it delivered right to your door. What a convenience. And I want to encourage everybody to check out Okanagan Open Roads Coalition. They're on Facebook. And, you know, they're doing their best to keep that public land yours, to where you can get out there and be a free American, ranging and having fun, doing whatever the heck you want to do, answering to nobody. And, you know, at that time of the cast where I got to say, if you want to learn where to cast, give me a call. 509-429-7298. Look me up and check out the blogger podcast at flyfishproshop.com. Or send me a message at methowfishingadventures@gmail.com. We'll get you out on the water and having fun. Hey, y'all, get that fish right on.
Going fishing all the time. Baby, going fishing too. Bet your life, your sweet wife, going catch more fish.